to for you to know, for you to test, for you to study, for you to understand carefully whether you have passed from bondage to freedom, from darkness into light, from death into life. Five chapters, 105 verses. Shouldn't take you very long to read. I wouldn't think so. Well, his letter, this is one of his letters, one of three letters. In his gospel, the Gospel of John, in chapter 20, verse 31, he says, "But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name." Well, what things has he written in the gospel? If you go back and read John's gospel carefully and study his statements and his parables and the miracles carefully, you will see that if you had been at that wedding where Jesus converted water, you saw it blush and become red and turn into wine, then you'll understand this statement. If you were to look at Nicodemus, who came by night to find Jesus, a man who was a member of the Sanhedrin, who had tried to follow all of the laws of the Old Testament, who stepped into the darkness where Jesus was, and when he left in the light. If you would look into his eyes, then you would understand what John is saying. If you were to take the Samaritan woman who was at the well, who had had so many husbands, and when she talked to Jesus and she went back to her people and she said, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" If you look into her eyes, I think that you'll understand. If you looked into the eyes of the blind man who came groping like darkness to Jesus to get close enough to him to hear him say, "What do you want? I want to see." And then you see this man receive his blight, his sight. And then later, some of the people came to him and said, "This man that healed you, is he a sinner or not?" You would hear this man say, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't understand. I don't know. But one thing I know, I was blind and now I see." Then you will understand. If you were standing at the tomb with Mary and Martha before their brother Lazarus, who had been dead, and Jesus comes, and they're crying, and he cries. Scripture says that he wept. And then you hear Jesus say, "Lazarus." And I know that inside that burial cave, his eyes opened, and his flesh reddened, and his blood began to pump, and there was life in his body. He said, "Come forth." And I can see Lazarus rising up with the grave clothes still on him, and standing there before him, and the joy in Martha and Mary. If you were standing there and you saw this, then I think you would understand what John was saying when he said, "I've written these things that you may know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." When you see Jesus on his way to the crucifixion, scourged and beaten and bloody and flesh hanging off, and then raised up on that cross, and when you hear him say, "It is finished," I think you might understand a little bit about what John is saying. These things were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so if the Gospel of John was written to prove that the deity of Jesus, his letters were written that you might know that you have passed from death to life. One book, five chapters, 105 verses. Doubt of our salvation is always disturbing. There were years when I wondered, for years, until I was 34. Thought I was a Christian, hoped I was a Christian, prayed I was a Christian, wondered if I was a Christian. If you take the Gospel of John that says that you can understand that Jesus is the deity. If you take his letter, he says, I have written this letter for one purpose, that you might know. It's very clear. If you shut your eyes to these letters, the Gospel of John to the letter of John, then I wonder, it's no wonder that you still have doubts about your salvation. If you've turned away from the Gospel of John, it's no wonder that you worry and question the deity of Christ. Was he really the Son of God? Is he really God himself? Is he really? Sometimes our doubt is caused by our own stubbornness. We just simply won't be convinced. But if you put aside your prejudice and you accept the Bible as the least worthy of consideration, reading with open eyes and with a heart, you will come to the right understanding of Christ and an understanding of what it means to be a Christian. If we doubt, it's because we have not fully believed God's Word. If you believe God's Word, then it's very evident, very plain, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you believe God's Word, then you will know whether you are a Christian or not. And when you don't know, then you're not going to have peace, and you're not going to have a close identification with Christ. If you don't fully accept God's words, you're going to have trials, and you're going to have burdens, and they're going to be heavy, and you can't rely on verses that say, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You're going to have trials and burdens, and you won't understand the verse that says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Through some of these trials that we have gone through, I have been burdened, and you know, what have I done? What can I do? What should I do? What must I not do? Worry, worry, worry. Anxiety. I found a verse that I have known for 50 years. Cast your anxieties on me, because I care for you. Cast your cares, cast your worries on me. I decided to do that. It's not going to be me and Jeff or anybody else that's the leader in this church to make things happen. Lord, you tell us not to worry, that you've got it in your hands. So, Lord, it's in your hands. I am not going to be worried about it. I'm going to do what you call me to do. I will be there, but I'm going to believe that verse. I can take that verse, and I'm not going to be troubled because I believe in you, and I know that you believe in me. If you aren't sure of your salvation, then one day you're on a mountaintop. The next day you're in a valley. Your influence in your home is like heaven today, and tomorrow you're hurting everybody that's around you. And without assurance, one day you're hot, one day you're cold. One day you have power, the next day you don't have power. These things I have written that you may know. Do you know if you're a Christian? You may know, first of all, by your confidence in Jesus and his word. 1 John 4:15 says, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he is in God. You only have to determine if you believe in him as the Son of God. A simple test. Then you will know. 1 John 5:1 says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Son of God is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. And so you only have to decide whether or not you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and is really the Son of God. I know that I am a Christian because I have confidence in the Word. He told me, and I believe him. There's another way to know if you are a Christian, because of your obedience and because of your love for him. 1 John 2:3 says, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. Well, what are his commandments? Our first commandment is to follow him. If we're following him, then you'll know whether or not you're a Christian. If you are to obey him, you must go after the lost. He tells us to go and to seek and to teach and to baptize and to share the gospel message. This church exists for one purpose only. Its purpose, its mission, its goal, its aim, its objective is to equip the saints. You are saints. So that you can take the gospel message out to your neighbors and your coworkers and your friends and your partners, wherever and whomever they may be, and tell them about Jesus. That's what obedience is. And if you obey Him, you will go out after the lost. And when you don't know anything that will strengthen your faith, this strengthens your faith more than anything, I believe, when you can go out and share. When you have a passion for souls that are lost. I know that our brother Larry has a passion for people to hear the word. And he brings guests from his ranch and friends of the family and family members to hear God's word. God says to go out and do that. Larry, you're doing that, and I appreciate that. And so we may know that we're Christians by doing His will. The book of John, chapter 7, verse 17 and 18 says, if anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. So you don't sit in doubt. You begin to do something. You don't sit in darkness. You get out into the light. You don't mourn because you are weak. Strengthen someone else. If you think God's calling you to do that, He will equip you to do that. You will not be able to do it on your own. You may be a new Christian. You may not know very much of the Word. You may not know how to go out and tell somebody. What happened to you? Tell somebody else that's interested. Most of us, many of us, became Christians, I'm going to suggest, by seeing someone else and hearing someone else. My desire for the Lord came from watching two men that I worked with and saw their lives and saw their Christian walk. And they began to share with me. That changed my life completely. We'll know if we're Christians by our habits. Our habits, the things that we do. 1 John 3:9 says, no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he was born of God. Well, that scripture in itself seems to condemn us all because we all sin. And if you say you don't sin, well, God, the word says you're lying. And we are told to confess our sins that he will forgive us. And so, a literal translation of that verse is, no one who is a child of God is habitually guilty of sin. And I'm talking about the same sin. If you're caught up in some sin and you're enjoying it and have no desire to stop that sin, then I do a heart check. I do a soul search very quickly. Because God says, if you are continuing in that sin without any desire to end that sin, then Christ is not in you. Is not in you. We all do sin. Well, there's three marks of a Christian that I find that regarding sin. The first is the desire to get back to God. If you have sinned, God's Spirit is, if you're a Christian, God's Spirit is going to say, hey, Joe, you shouldn't do that. You know that's wrong. Get back on track. That's the feeling that you get. And you say, oh, Lord, I have sinned against you. David says in Psalm 51, you and you only have I sinned against. Certainly he sinned against Uriah, and certainly he sinned against Bathsheba. But you know what? In David's heart and in his mind and in his soul and his spirit, he said, I have sinned against you, Lord. And when I've sinned against you, I have sinned against my family. I've sinned against my church. I've sinned against my friends. I've sinned against my nation. And so the first thing that a Christian does is feels a sense of guilt from the Lord. The second thing is a willingness to confess to the people that you have hurt or offended that you've sinned against them. You know, we say, Lord, I'm not going to do that anymore. Tomorrow's going to be a new day in my life. Can you imagine telling your wife or your children. Tomorrow's going to be another day. No, you need to confess. You need to say, I am sorry. I have sinned against you. I have hurt you. I have offended you, and I am so sorry. And ask for forgiveness. The third thing is a readiness to confess your sins to God. I don't know how far a person should go in confessing sins one to another. The Scripture says we are to confess our sins one to another. The problem is we really don't trust each other, because if we did trust each other, we would share one with another. We need a accountability partner where we can say, hey, I'm caught up in something that's really bugging me, and I need strength. I need you to pray for me. I need help. I don't know how far you go as far as public confession is concerned, but I know this, that if I have sin in my life, I have to go to God and make it right with Him. I know I'm a Christian if I follow closely to the leading of the Holy Spirit. If you feel like you're being, if you know that you're doing something and it's wrong and you don't feel a guilt, a need to go to the Lord and say, confessing your sins, then you better question your Christianity. I may know that I'm a Christian by the interest that I have in others. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. And so we know that we were changed when we became Christians. Our old nature seems to remain in us, however. And so how do we show this love? Do we reach out with a helping hand? Do we speak a word of kindness and gentleness or compassion? It's so easy to do that. Do we reach out to help somebody that's suffering? That spirit of service and love drives away any doubt. If you have that spirit in you, it drives away any doubt of your salvation that you may have, and you can know that you're a Christian. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? That's a command from Jesus. We should love our neighbor. Why? God made him and made him in his own likeness, his own image. God made the world. And God loved the world, and he loved us. And so this love has to come out. It comes out in our prayers and our desires and our attempts to help someone, especially someone that's lost. If we don't have that desire, then you may want to check your heart, because Scripture is very plain. I can see that you are a Christian by the love that you have for others. You know, the hatred that we might have for a brother or others is on the contrary, a sign that you are in a dead state. You are living a dark life. Scripture says, anyone who does not love his Christian brother remains in death. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. These are not my words. These are God's words. In fact, these are Jesus' words. Came out of his mouth as he was talking to his crowds and to his apostles and to the those who were lost. You have to love your brother. Compliments and flatteries are not very becoming if they're not genuine. Reaching out to help the suffering with a spirit of service and love will drive away all of your doubt, and you'll know that you're a Christian. Do you know if you are a Christian? God's Word assures you that you can know that you know that you know. No more doubts. No more doubts. Accept God's Word, and you will know. If you don't believe His Word, then you're going to be confused, and you will not have this joy and this peace that comes from being a Christian. Praise team can come up, please. And as they're getting ready, I would say to you, God's word is powerful. It says it is powerful unto salvation. And so, as I've said before, if you're not in it, there's not a lot of power in your life. If you are in it, if you go to Bible studies, if you have times at home where you read the Bible privately, there's all kinds of ways to get into God's word. You have to believe it first. And if you believe it, then God can change your life, and you will know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you will know that your salvation is sure.